Ramsey TV.
What makes you right and everyone else wrong, Martin Zender? Why are you so special that your theological assertions are correct and the rest of the world is wrong? I mean, besides the fact that you're the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, besides the fact that you've studied the scriptures in 22 different translations and the original languages for 40 years, besides the fact that you are wearing horizontal stripes and that you have never gone to a theological institution. That's a plus, of course, to never have gone to a theological institution. But other than all those things, what makes you think you're right? Well, I have a way, ladies and gentlemen. You would expect this from me, and today I deliver. I have a litmus test to determine what is truth and what is falsehood. And the litmus test is WWSD. WWSD, what's that, Martin? Isn't this saying WWJD? What is this WWSD? This is my new invention today, my new saying. It goes like this: what would Satan do? Yes, sometimes you need to put your mind in the enemy camp. This will be easier for some than for others, to put your own head in Satan's head. And what would he want? What would he like? What would please him? What would increase his kingdom? What would push his fame abroad? What would cause movies, television shows, and popular music to be made about his aspirations, dreams, and sacred quests? Once you can determine that, then you just go to the opposite, and that's the truth. Simple. You go to the opposite then, after you've determined all the things that Satan wants, and you go to the opposite, and that's the truth. So let us put ourselves in the devious little mind of the adversary, otherwise known as Satan, the prince of darkness, the god of the air, the chief of this eon, and let's just see. And let's test the popular creeds. Let's test those things that you have heard from me and the things that you have heard from the denominational church, the nominal church, that clash with what I and others have been telling you for years. The most obvious thing is the doctrine of eternal torment versus the doctrine of the salvation of all. What would Satan do? Satan would choose a side that would give him great glory, great prestige, great honor, and great victory, and would at the same time demolish, demote, deteriorate, and make defunct the work of Jesus Christ. So which of these two things do you think Satan would rally toward? On the one hand, we have a Savior who came to save the world but couldn't. A Savior who came to take away the sin of the world, stated purpose, John 1:29, but didn't. We have a God who took stock of the situation of sin and death, sent a remedy, but fell short, i.e. sinned. We have a Savior who wants to save everybody, but who stupidly, get this. I had someone tell me the other day, true story, that, the problem in the Garden of Eden, this person said, was God made a mistake when he gave humanity free will. And then they went on, and I said, wait a minute, I'm still trying to recover from God made a mistake. How's that now? So, of course, this would please Satan if God made a mistake, and that would be the case if God gauged the extent of the problem, formulated the solution, that is, the sending of his own son, and fell short. To continue this end of the spectrum, consider that the kingdom of Satan, who naturally opposes everything of Christ, opposes anybody believing in Jesus, doesn't want anybody to come to a realization of the truth, he ends up in the eternal torment scenario, gaining most of the world and capturing most of humanity into his kingdom. Because even Christians will admit this, not many people believe in Jesus. Not only those who have heard of Jesus but reject him because he sounds like not much fun at a party, but those of other countries, of the deepest darks of Africa, of the Aborigine plain, of the Inuits, of the tribal tribes who tribe and tribe again, but they still cannot find God. These people are also going to eternal torment because they didn't believe in Jesus. Oh, and wouldn't Satan love it to engender the confusion and the ridiculousness to think that, well, it doesn't matter if you haven't heard of Jesus, you're still going to hell. That's perfectly satanic. Satan would love that. And in fact, millions of people believe that. Okay, there's that camp. I would say Satan would be delighted. I would say Satan would be delighted with a God who formulated a plan of salvation but sinned, that is, fell short. A God who made the mistake of giving everyone their free will in the Garden of Eden, starting with Adam, and then therefore lost control, never got his free will back, because once you give your free will, at one point, according to this theory, God was the only sovereign in the universe, but he mistakenly made the big mistake, my friend told me, gave his free will, gave his sovereignty away to everybody. Now everybody has their own sovereignty. Now the best that God can do is cross his big fat holy fingers. That sounds like something Satan would like people to believe, that and that the uttermost furthest reaches of the efforts of the Son of God to save the world, that is the 6 hours of torture on Calvary, wasn't enough to take away all the sin of the world. Because people are still going to hell because of sin. I got somebody tell me the other day, homosexuals go to hell because of sin. People who commit suicide go to hell because it's a terrible sin. People who die of drug overdoses go to hell because they committed a terrible sin. People who don't believe in Jesus go to hell because they committed a terrible sin. Can you see that and of course, hell is a kingdom owned and run by Satan. He's the owner, operator, / CEO, and it is a place, it is a vast chasm somewhere. According to the rich man and Lazarus parable, it is a place where there's a gulf fixed between those who are saved and those who are not, and people are having conversations in fire, and people are thirsty all the time, thirsty all the time. I would love to be a Coke salesman in hell, because apparently thirst is the primal need that is unfulfilled continuously. Making my throat dry just thinking about it, that's horrible. Satan loves that. Okay, now here's the other hand. This is just on the eternal torment issue. I'd like to get into the free will issue, although I have touched on it already. On the other side, there's people like me who tell you that, and as I say these things, let me know what you think Satan would say of them. Let me know what you think Satan would say. Oh, by the way, this new piece of jewelry here is a gift to me by Elaine Kelly. Thank you, Elaine. Isn't it? Somebody told me it was sexy. All right. Well, yeah, I can see that. And so, as I said, on the other hand, there are people like me who believe that God measured the need, God measured the sin and death, and he sent a rescuer, a savior, and he overcompensated to make sure that he would get the job done. He overcompensates, and so he sends grace, and the grace completely overwhelms the sin. That's a scripture verse, by the way, Romans 5:20, where sin increased, grace super exceeds. So the grace totally overcompensates, and God has room to spare. It's like a football player in the NFL kicking the game-winning field goal, and he's kicking from like 45 yards out. It's a decently long kick, but he kicks the ball, goes right through the uprights, but it just keeps going, like into the stands. He's got room to spare. He could have made it if it was a 64-yarder. He could have made it. That's God. God had room to spare. It's like not an issue. Oh, Satan would be so frustrated with that to know that God took an account of the problem and overcompensated. Ah, Satan would be dashed. And then there's Jesus Christ, who suffered unspeakably on the cross to take away the sins of the world. And I teach, and others, that he succeeded. Oh, anytime I say the words Christ succeeded, Satan is demoralized. He's pissed off. That's not what he wants. That's not what he would do. What would Satan do? He would not promote a teaching. Satan would not promote a teaching wherein Jesus Christ succeeds in doing the thing he came to do. That is how simple this whole thing is. Every single argument about eternal torment versus the salvation of all should end there. Why doesn't it? Wouldn't it please Satan to have Christ fail, to have God stupidly giving away his free will so that millions and billions can oppose him and end up going to hell because his hands are tied and he can't save them? Satan's like, oh, that's beautifully diabolical. Well, of course it is. Why shouldn't it be? I invented it. Yes, he loves that. Satan does. Absolutely loves it. That should tell you everything. And he hates a successful Christ. He hates the Savior of all. He hates it. Why would he like it? He opposes it. He's the God of this world. He wants people to remain in darkness. The God of this world blinds the apprehensions of the unbelieving so that the illumination of the glory of God does not irradiate them. The God of this eon blinds the apprehensions. And a person who doesn't believe right now in the cross, in God, has a blinded apprehension. Who did that? Satan. Is that an eternal situation, or is that person eventually shown the light to become part of the, as in Adam, all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified company? Oh, of course, they eventually are delivered from the blindness and the darkness, and Satan can only go, ah, rats, I wanted that blindness to be eternal. But it wasn't. It was only aeonian, because outsmarted again by God. And Satan wants no part of God's kingdom, right? No part of it. And so he would resist coming under the protection, the salvation of the cross, and yet he eventually comes under it, and he eventually praises God. Well, Satan wouldn't like that right now. He would hate that now. He would be resistant to it. And if you told him that, and I have told him that, he would say, you're out of your mind. In fact, someday Satan's going to say, someday when God becomes all in all and Satan has been reconciled to God, Satan will say, he will say, if you had told me back there in Eon 3 that I was eventually going to bow the knee in praise and worship of God, I would have said you were nuts. But now, yeah, I see it. Yeah, now it's actually happened. But he doesn't want it now. So the people who believe in eternal torment are believing what Satan is promoting. Satan promotes eternal torment because it gives him a bigger kingdom. It makes him at least a partial success over Christ. It gives him the satisfaction of knowing that God failed in sending his son to save the world. So it gives him a right to a little bit of smugness to say, I told you he couldn't do it. Satan loves that. And many, many people just play into his hand by believing it. They are part of Satan's kingdom. Yeah, they're part of Satan's kingdom. Christianity is in Satan's kingdom. People who believe in eternal torment, which is horrible, that the universe ends. Listen to this. Here's another thing. The universe ends in pain, misery, and torture for a majority of the human race. It's a majority. Satan loves that teaching. Christians do too. Christians are in Satan's camp. Christians are on the side of the adversary of God by buying into a doctrine that leaves the universe, a part of it, in a mess, in a wreck. That there's a part of the universe that will forever be away from God. That, in fact, God wished wouldn't happen. That God had not planned to happen. That God should be wringing his hands that it has happened. Oh, Satan wants that. Satan likes God wringing his hand. Oh, I tried to save him. What do you want me to do? Send my son or something? Oh, I did send my son. What happened? Oh, some people didn't believe in him? That's terrible. Why didn't he? Stubborn idiots. Maybe I should have sent him to die for all the sins of the world. Instead of leaving out the sin of unbelief. That was not very foresightful of me. Here's an idea, folks. If you're listening to this for the first time, you've never quite considered this, the argument of the salvation of all against the argument of eternal torment. If you've never quite considered it from this aspect of what would Satan do? What would Satan want? What would Christ want? What would Christ do? He'd save the world. He'd save the whole damn world. He'd save everybody so that everybody could say he's a success. What would Satan do? Satan would take away Christ's greatest desire by capturing many, many, many billions of people and keeping them away from Christ. It's a tug of war. Satan, Christ. Satan, Christ. At best, it's a draw. Not in my world. My world, God wins. My world, Jesus Christ pulls harder on the rope. And eventually pulls so hard that he brings in Satan. Yes, he brings the enemy of all righteousness into the fold. What a total victory. You think Satan wants anybody to believe that? That should tell you that what I am believing and promoting, this is apart from any scriptural evidence. I got crap loads of that. Verse after verse after verse after this verse. This is aside from all the scriptural evidence of the salvation of all, which there is a plethora of evidence. Besides all that, when you're presenting this truth to somebody who says, well, who's right? How do I know? Here's how you know. What would Satan do? What would Jesus do? Which teaching would Satan like the most? The one that gives him a great victory and takes away the desire of God and Christ? Do you think Satan would like a complete victory for God and Christ? Do you think he'd want anybody believing in the success of God and Christ? Of course not. That's not what he would do. And so the success of God in Christ is the right teaching. That's logical, it's practical, and it lines up with the Word of God.